For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Signature Select Classic Ham, shank half or whole, bone in while supplies last, just 89 cents per pound. Enjoy 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries or blackberries. Buy two, get two free of equal or lesser value when you buy four. And mix and match Nabisco snack crackers, Ritz crackers, Cheetos, Doritos, Tostitos or Sun Chips, selected varieties and sizes. Buy two, get two for free when you buy four. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Good morning and happy Monday. I'm talking into the void here, Jeffrey. Do we believe that people can hear me? People can hear me. Well, this is fitting, absolutely, given that the S show that we watched yesterday, we're starting a little bit. This is just so we, to create a feeling of empathy, and we're all in it together. A little bit of an S show here in the station this morning, because I hear nothing, Jeffrey. But there you go. We do have a lot to talk about, presuming that we get through this. Chris Harrington joins us straight up at 10 o'clock from Oklahoma City. We will talk to Chris. He was there for the Daily Memphian yesterday, as was Drew Hill. Happily, I was not. It's one of the nice twists of my new life where I'm not a full-time sports writer. I did go to church yesterday, Ottawa Presbyterian. Reverend David Powers said, he said he'd try to wrap it up by noon so we could catch the Grizzlies game. And by the time anyone got home, it was already over. So we do have a lot to talk about. I've already gotten, I've gotten direct messages and from folks demanding that we open up the phones today, Jeffrey. There's already demand that we open up the phones. Cable Guy begins with saying, let's just see if I have this here. Please open the phones Monday. It gets a little personal here. So every stupid fan that wanted this series can fake like they didn't ask for this. The season could have been over and we could have been looking at maybe getting lucky and moving up in the draft in a good draft, but no, we won meaningless games just to get our ass kicked like this. When we have three more coming. So there you go. So we will, provided we get through this little technological hiccup, we will try to open the phones at some point and take calls. So all the stupid fans that wanted this series can call in and pretend like they faked it. Those are his words, not mine. And many people still say they preferred what happened Friday. We do have a lot to talk about. And it's kind of interesting, because Friday has now been understandably lost, wiped out. And here's the small truth. It was fun. I mean, we'll get to Sunday, I promise. Friday was fun. I was one of the folks who was really on the fence about whether I wanted them to win Friday or not. Again, never expected them to do anything other than try to win, never wanted them to do anything other than try to win, but in my own head, my own preference, I was somewhat torn. And I was torn for two reasons. One, if they lost Friday, they would have kept the draft pick. You know that by now. 14th pick, whatever it would have been, presuming they don't jump up and get Cooper Flagg, is not a franchise-saving draft pick, but it's an asset. And when you are where this team is, all assets matter. And so I wanted the draft pick. But more to the point, it wasn't at all clear to me which was going to be more demoralizing and humiliating. Losing Friday to a mediocre, at best, Dallas team at home to go from second in the West to missing the playoffs entirely. That would have been demoralizing. But in my head, I asked, would that have been more demoralizing than getting blown out by Oklahoma City four straight games? Sweeps are demoralizing, and the nature of this sweep was always going to be ugly. This Memphis team lost by an average of 18.5 points to the Thunder in their regular season games this year. And so it wasn't at all clear to me which would feel worse, losing Friday or having to watch this series. It's still not clear to me. But in the end, I decided, listen, you play to win the game. I'm going to root for the Grizzlies to win the game. And I also decided that what you really don't want is that the players inside the team to get demoralized. And the idea was, and Chris proposed this and I co-signed, the idea was is that if the Grizzlies lose Friday, miss the playoffs, would Ja, Jaren, and Dez begin to wonder whether it's time to get the hell out of here? And I didn't want that. And so I, in the end, switched my vote and decided I wanted them to win Friday. And Friday? Friday was fun. Jeffrey, I don't know if you can talk. Can you talk given the current state of things or not?
I can talk, but we're struggling to hear each other.
You can talk, but I have no idea what you're saying. That's great. I'm just going to occasionally, I'm going to say something and you can chime in. I won't react to it appropriately because I have no idea what you're saying, but it'll be that kind of a conversation. Not unlike the conversations that my father used to have with me. He would say something, he'd hear me talk, he was deaf as a post. He might possibly react to it, but he might just react to something that he thought I would have said. But anyway, so Friday was a lot of fun. The big three all played terrifically. There was this incredible suspense about Ja, whether Ja would play or not play. Listen, you have to harken back to Friday because it was fun. Ja ended up, and he talked about this afterwards, he actually said he was uncertain about the medical process they would have to go through because, as Jeffrey said, these are not Advils that that the man is taking. And he ended up taking multiple injections in order to play. And he comes out, first trip by Dallas down the court. This is, again, you're going to have to cast your mind back to when things were still good. On Friday, he picks off a pass, fires it to Dez, Dez to Jaren, corner three, bang, or as Pete would say, bango. And later on in the first quarter, uncorked a dunk on a putback from Santi that was, honestly, as kind of impressive given the circumstances or as stunning given the circumstances as any dunk he has ever unleashed. Because I don't know what we expected from Ja on Friday, but we did not expect that. That vicious, vicious tomahawk dunk. And so you had that. And then the Grizzlies just, you know, won comfortably. Zach Edey was terrific, absolutely terrific. So you're feeling pretty good about that. The decision to go with John Conchar and Marvin Bagley, like that was all, maybe the coach can coach a little bit, looked great. And now you have a chance to test yourself against the best team in the league. So coming off of Friday, I was thinking, you know what? It was probably silly to even be debating whether we wanted to play this series against Oklahoma City. And then Sunday happened. And I'll just say this. On Ron Olson's show, Ron and Karen's show, over on the river, they were debating what's worst. Root canal, kidney stones, or watching the Grizzlies Sunday. Now, on the one hand, you can turn off the Grizzlies. You can't turn off kidney stones, and you can't turn off a root canal. So from that perspective, you got to say the root canal and the kidney stones have to be worse than watching the Grizzlies Sunday. On the other hand, I've had a root canal. Never had kidney stones. And when I had my root canal, it was not televised across the entire country on national television. So this was a very public, painful procedure that that the Grizzlies underwent. As bad as you would have imagined, it was worse. And this is, by the way, the last playoff game the Grizzlies played, not the play-in game, playoff game. Last playoff game that the Grizzlies played, they lost by 40 to the Lakers. Elimination game, lost by 40 to the Lakers, run out of the building, and you're thinking, it can't get worse than this. To get rid of Dylan Brooks, don't need him. He's obviously the reason for this. And instead of losing by 40, they lose by 51. So the last two playoff games, this group has lost by a combined 91 points. Just some stats. 6 of 34 from 3. 6 of 34 from 3. Transition points? 27 to 5. 27 to 5. 24 turnovers. 24 turnovers. We now have audio, Jeffrey. Whatever happened worked. Shout out to Alan. They were down by 50 with 5:01 left in the third. Assists 37 for the Thunder, 18 for the Grizzlies. Rebound 54 to 43. That one wasn't quite so appalling. But I think the one that might have been most disconcerting is the big three. We'll still call them that. 11 of 42 from the field, 2 of 16 from three. Jaren and Bain, a combined 13 points. 5 of 25 from the field. Jaren, 2 of 13, 4 points. 2 of 13, 4 points. Bane, a nifty minus 51 for the game. Some other stats, just to listen, you can quantify however you want. How ugly this got. But as you will recall, the Grizzlies were swept their first three times they went to the playoffs. Right, Jeffrey? You recall those.
I recall. I was in the building for a lot of those.
First one to the Spurs.
Yep.
Second one to the Suns.
Yep.
Third one to the Mavs.
Mm-hmm.
In the first two sweeps, that was 04 and 05, they lost those four straight games. Cumulatively, they lost by fewer points in each one of those series than they lost by on Sunday.
Yep.
That's how bad it was. It was an absolute national public humiliation, and it was with all three of your best players healthy, present, and experienced. It was bad. How bad was it, Jeffrey?
So I think another number that you left out that I think
I left out.
Yeah. So I like to do this one because so much of the NBA now is just dictated by how did you shoot from three and how did you defend the three.
Yeah.
If let's just say the Grizzlies would have the difference in threes was 11 makes. So if you take away those 33 points, they still lose by 18.
Yeah.
Like if you just even up three
point
shooting.
How much did
shooting, you watch? I sadly watched the whole thing.
You watched the whole thing?
Yeah.
I did not. I can't bear it.
Well, because then it started to. Then I started to.
And then
get,
you started to watch to see if they would lose by 58.
Correct.
Set the new record. They did not. Heroic performance.
They had like a big
three by Luke at the end. And obviously Bagley did what he did. 8 of 8 from Bagley. So there you go. So, I mean, afterwards the players, and you can read Drew's piece and you can read Chris's piece over the Daily Memphian. Isolo, it's hard to play worse than this. Isolo, we were very bad and they were very good. On what went wrong, Isolo, there were a lot of things. And Ja, we will never play this bad again. So, but I do think, as cable guy, and we'll get to this when we open up calls in the next segment, I think it does reopen the question. And it's really two different ways to look at it. Well, first of all, let's at least entertain the possibility that this may not be a sweep and it may not be continuing humiliation. Do you entertain that possibility?
I mean, there's in the back of your mind, there's if you've been watching the playoffs recently, even when series are on paper competitive, like they go 6 or 7 games, you recognize there's only 1 or 2 games in those series that are actually competitive. You can, if you want to sit there and say they exerted a lot of energy on Wednesday and Friday, there was travel involved, this was a bad setup, that this was the ultimate way to get smoked, sure. The problem is you would also have to be ignoring the fact that every time that these teams have played this year, there has been an obvious mismatch.
Right now, I'll give you either sweep or the Grizzlies win a game. Which?
I think I'd probably say sweep.
Sweep. You'd have to say sweep.
Yeah.
Will the Grizzlies finish any game within 10?
Yeah, I think so.
I think likely.
I mean, that's right? Kind of the other thing. It's like a lot of this is going to just get dictated by shooting. Like if the Grizzlies come out and...
Here's the thing, though. The shooting, it's not just, hey, they miss shots. When you play the Thunder, it's a totally different deal.
Agreed.
Every one of those players can guard with ferocity and skill. Like, it is a totally different deal. It's not just, we didn't make shots. There is a reason they shot the way they shot, and it's because they're playing the Thunder.
Yes.
Interestingly enough, if you go back and look at the biggest losses ever in history, and here's the thing. You had to go back a long time. So the team that lost by 58 points in 1955-56, they lost to the Lakers by 58 in Game 2. They bounced back to win Game 3 by a point and indeed won the series. How about that?
I mean, there is kind of an argument of, okay, this isn't like European soccer where it's aggregate. You play a home and away.
That's what everyone says. It only counts as one loss.
Right.
You can lose by 150 points.
That ignores what you're watching.
It ignores what you're watching. Okay, then we have in 2008-2009, the New Orleans Hornets, a loss to Denver by 58, and lost the series 4-1. But they did take a game. They did take a game in that series. This is according to, by the way, David Boyd over at the Daily Memphian. You can read all the Daily Memphian's coverage over there. 72-73, Golden State lost to the Lakers by 56. They won the next game, 117-109. To make the series 1-3, but then they lost.
Yep.
So they weren't swept. And, 2014-15, Milwaukee lost by 54 to Chicago. There was no bounce-back opportunity because that was the elimination game.
That was the closeout game. Yeah.
So that was the elimination game. So at least if you look at history, there is some thought that, hey, just
one
game.
You could win a game, yeah.
Grizzlies could win a game. Hell, and the St. Louis Hawks won the series. It ignores what you're watching. So here's my question, Jeffrey, and they ask it two different ways. One is, were the people who wanted the series, who wanted to win Friday and wanted the series, were they wrong? It was easy to say back last week, hey, make the playoffs. Could be fun. Who cares about the draft pick? You know, it's the playoffs. Anything can happen. We don't want to miss the playoffs entirely. We'll go and just see what happens, and it'll be good experience for everybody. And, yeah, are those people reevaluating now that they are coming to grips with exactly how humiliating this could get?
So I'd be interested to hear the phone calls.
I think we will take the phone calls in a moment. Well, the counter to the counter.
I was very adamant. I was rooting, by the end of the week, I was rooting for Friday, and I still knew what was on the horizon. I had no illusions of
they could make this close,
right,
whatever else.
I said this is an opportunity to sit there and maybe change the narrative a little bit, but I thought that this was going to be a 4 or 5 game series at the absolute most, and it wouldn't be close.
Okay. So, but that's, I think most people still said that. You didn't think they'd lose by 51.
No, but like honestly, to me,
you don't think the humiliation matters.
Not really. I mean, to me, like if you get me by 30, it's humiliating.
I think the counter to the counter is, okay, on the one hand, the people who didn't want to see this series are now saying, this is why we didn't want to see the series.
Yeah, and this, I mean, there are people out there that were very clear the whole time.
But then the counter to that, the people who did want to see it can now say, no. This public humiliation is exactly what they need, because they need to understand exactly how far they are from being a contender. And this may be painful, but it is useful pain. It is pain that will create change in the franchise. And if it continues over the next 4 games, so be it, baby. The whole world should see the distance between this team and real credibility and real competitiveness.
Yeah, and I actually think that was a reasonable position.
Okay, the counter to the counter to the counter.
All right.
Is
the adjustment to the adjustment to the adjustment.
Is this, if it continues like, it's not going to continue like that ever again. I don't believe that. It's going to be 50.
Sounds like a challenge.
Could we have a 30? Yeah. The counter to the counter to the counter is, will that produce an overreaction?
Sure, a panic move.
Here's the other, let me phrase it a different way. Just put yourself in the seat of Robert Pera, and just some owner who we can imagine either to be rational or emotional or whatever we want them to imagine, right? Would they be more likely to insist on change after watching their team lose to Dallas and miss the playoffs? That scenario. Oh, my God. We just fell completely from 2 to missing the playoffs. This season has been a disaster. I need to change whatever it is. I need to change the GM. I need to tell the GM to make a big trade. I need to, right, like whatever, some seismic or significant change to the franchise. Is the owner more likely to feel like that after a single loss Friday that would have been demoralizing? Or if this series continues to be a sweep and embarrassing, is in fact that going to be more apt to force change? If you were the owner, which would be more embarrassing to you?
My instinct says the prolonged embarrassment.
The prolonged pummeling.
Right.
More people watch it.
Right. Well, and also you could do the, well, one game, like you could talk yourself out of like, all
Jazz
right.
hurt.
Yeah, it was a traumatic close to the season. It was just the season from hell. I could see where you like set that aside. When you consistently watch your team that you conceivably own not even belong on the same floor, I think that would cause a different reaction.
All right, and then the last question before we open up the phone. So the last question I would ask is, is this, and was what we saw yesterday, a team that is just not very good? Or is a lot of this really about Oklahoma City? Is a lot of this like, okay, listen, they can get humiliated by Oklahoma City, but Oklahoma City has been humiliating everyone all year long. If they were playing Denver, or they were playing Houston, or they were playing, hell, if they were playing Golden State, which beat Houston, or if they were playing the Lakers, or they were playing anyone else, they would look like what they are, which is a top third team in the league. No, they're not. They're not Oklahoma City. They're very clearly not Oklahoma City. I think we can say that definitively. But they're a good team. They are, in fact, a good team. They're a top third in the league team. And what yesterday's humiliation was about was the timetable they were operating on. They had expended themselves Friday. They had expended themselves like in two play-in games. They go to Oklahoma City. They're shorthanded. And they play a freaking juggernaut.
Yeah.
And so that's why we saw what we saw, and we shouldn't overreact to it.
Well, see, like, that's the question to me is, because what if I'm right? And my suspicion for the last couple of months is this is all heading towards Oklahoma City is winning the West, and either Boston or Cleveland are winning the East, and we're heading to that. If Oklahoma City rolls through the playoffs, like, let's say they go 12-2 through the West, does this change how you feel? Like, would that have any impact?
I mean, if Oklahoma City, forget rolls to the West, if Oklahoma City rolls to the title and loses one game in the course of the title and
right.
beats a lot of other teams by 20 and 30, it would change how you feel. If they win six game series against,
that's
you
what
know,
I'm saying. Like, so
if they have to, in order for it to change how you feel, they'd have to really roll through the entire league, not just the West.
Yes.
And which they could, by the way. And then you're like, oh, well, we just happened to get in the head of a train.
Yeah, we were happened to be the first victim.
The question is, though, of course, what decisions will the Grizzlies have made between now and then?
See, what decisions could they actually make? So realistically, they could do a coach decision.
What is it? Does this make it? If they, let's say, that's another question. Let's say they get routed like this.
Sure.
Friday, we were thinking, look at Isolo. Guy's got it going on, man. He's rallied the team. They win a big game against Dallas. It seems that what he's doing with Conchar and Bagley and whatever else
yeah.
seems makes a lot
he's pushing
of
the right buttons.
Makes a pushing the right buttons, whatever. And then you see this. Does it make Isolo last app to get the job?
My guess is
they quit on him yesterday.
My guess is not helping.
They quit on themselves yesterday. They quit on basketball yesterday.
I mean, like, I kind of thought in the first quarter they kind of came out
they hung in there.
They were game, but then you saw, like, once they realized, like, this is not happening, they just threw in the towel.
All right. We will take your calls. It's been requested. And I guess the question will be, the fundamental question will be, do you wish you weren't watching this series? Do you wish they lost Friday? But any other thoughts you want to have about any particular player, coach, scheme, anything, you can get that off your chest, too. We're here for you. We are here for you on this day. It'll be a form of therapy for everybody. Phone number is 445-0929, 445-0929. We will take your calls. Do you wish you weren't watching this series? Are you glad you won Friday? Were you there Friday? Friday was, in fact, people forget, we even had to whoop that trick. Friday was fun. So your thoughts on where the Grizzlies are after that debacle yesterday. 445-0929 is the phone number. We'll do that when we return. Jeff Gawkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Hawkins Show. As promised, we will take your calls. We had a little bit of a rough start to the show today because our audio was screwed up. So it was in sympathy with the Grizzlies, who have a little bit of a rough start to their series. But we will hear what you all think about it. I guess the first question I would ask, which you can answer or you can say anything you want to say, is are you glad you're seeing this series? Or now, do you wish they'd lost Friday? 445-0929, who do we got?
Jeff, we start with Darren and Bartlett. Darren, you're on.
Hey, just got a couple questions. Yes, I am glad they're getting blown out. This experience is going to help them.
Okay.
But first question, why do they keep running high pick and roll with Zach Edey instead of running it with Jaren? And then second question, why do they keep allowing Dez to initiate the offense instead of Pippen or Ja?
Thanks very much. Appreciate it. Jeffrey, do you have any theories there? Is one of the questions that we've asked for a long time is the Jaren and Ja thing has never actually been a thing, right?
It's never – like when you go and you look at all the evidence, like their two-man game, like it looked – they had some positives at the end of the Golden State game, but over the course of time, it's never worked. Like
they don't do it or it doesn't work?
It doesn't work as well. Jaren's not as much of a rim runner.
Because it's a point Chris has made before. Like, we've had, over the course of their careers together, superb Ja at different times and superb Jaren at different times. They don't particularly, whether they're not deployed that way or whether it doesn't work out when they are deployed that way, they do not particularly have had moments of playing particularly brilliantly with each other in that way. And then, like, I agree that Dez is a ball handler. You've said this all along.
All summer last year. Yeah. It's like, I'm just not a fan.
445-0929, who's next?
Jeff, we got a Michael in Memphis. Michael, you're on.
Good morning. I'm enjoying your show. The question, yes, I'm glad that they won Friday. And I think that what happened Friday is always good to have some positives. They were playing at a high percentage, and they were executing to the degree that they are able to. However, yesterday, I'm glad that they're seeing what we're seeing, because what's happening is they're not prepared. This is a practice thing. The game plan is the constant to a game plan is to outwork, out hustle, and always fight. Now, all the other variables, making your free throws, doing all the other stuff, it's how you practice. They have to play like they practice. If they're out there throwing lazy passes, that's what they're doing in practice. If they're going half speed, they're doing that in practice. By the last 20 games of the season, they should have been in full cylinder playing at a high percentage. And all those little bit of tangibles, nobody should outwork you. You're grit and grind. Nobody should outwork you.
You were grit and grind. I'm not so sure. So, thanks very much. Appreciate it. By the way, I do want to say that Friday was positive. Like, it was – I left that arena. It wasn't just – I mean, look, Ja played well. Jaren played well. Dez played well. They all played well. They've all played together and well. Edie, the first-round pick, played well. And then the vibe in the arena, like, it wasn't – I wondered what it was going to be like. It wasn't a hard sellout. And by the way, tickets for Thursday go on sale, and Friday are on sale. Tickets for Thursday's game and Saturday's game are on sale. It was a lot of fun in there, and it was, in fact, and you just wonder how much it was obliterated by what happened yesterday. It was a reminder of what playoff basketball, it was play-in basketball, what play-in basketball in Memphis can be. It wasn't as loud as some of the loudest Clippers-Grizzlies games of yore were, but it was plenty loud. I don't know what it looked like on TV, but it was...
No, it looked like a playoff game.
Yeah, it was like you had the towels going, and you're like, they needed this. And then the question is this, what we saw Friday, completely obliterated by what we saw yesterday? 445-0929, who's next?
Jeff, we'll get to our friend Dennis in Whitehaven. Dennis, you're on.
Dennis!
Hey, good morning. Well, look, I want to answer a question, but before I do, I think, Jeffrey, you can relate to this. I just started DraftKings this year, and one thing I've noticed about Vegas, I didn't think they were going to lose by 20, by 51, but they would, I think, 16, 18 points, and it's amazing that how they always seem to know and get this stuff right. So that's my first comment. And my second thing is, I hate that we won because whether we want to face it or not, the big three, so-called, is going to have to be broken up. You're not getting rid of Ja. I don't think you're getting rid of Jaren. But you could have took that lottery pick and maybe Bane. You got to make hard choices, man. It's got to be some, like the guy talking about practice. You don't have the personnel. You don't have the personnel, man. So they got to make a hard decision. I think you could have took Bane and maybe their lottery pick and went and got something. I mean, look at Oklahoma City. They have a hell of a front office, man. I mean, I'm a Cowboy fan. We have a sucky front office. I know when the front office is not good, the team is not going to be good.
Thank you very much, Dennis. Appreciate it. Next.
Also, you know, we've talked about it. Like, for all the jokes about Jerry, like, they've had some draft success, too.
They've had
too.
Some good draft picks, yeah. Like, the phone number is 445-0929, 445-0929, if you want to get your thoughts about what happened yesterday in how you feel about the state of the Grizzlies. And It is interesting, Jeffrey. It feels like so far there is a little bit of a consensus that even if this is ugly,
it's
this
necessary.
Is a useful ugly.
Yeah.
You know, it's good to see this. 445-0929, who do we got?
Jeff, we got a Matt in Arlington. Matt, you're on.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Jeff. Appreciate you having me on the show. I really called in just to talk about the value that you get from, like, a play-in game, a playoff-type game, and even the value in these losses for some of these young players that you're going to get from Oklahoma City. There is value there. However, after that last caller, I got to say, get that trash out of here. Like, here's the bottom line. You think you're going to break up these big three and find some great player to want to come to Memphis? Absolutely not, dude. Get that crap out of here. You have three great players who are invested in this team, seemingly, and who want to be here. There's a lot of value in that. And you are not going to find that from go to the free agency market. Name one who wants to come to the 901. You ain't going to find one. I mean, Chandler Parsons.
If they want to come, if they can get a free contract with their bum knee. Yeah. Okay. Thanks very much. Appreciate it. 445-0929 is the phone number. I do think people forget, as bad as it was, you're top third team in the league. You know, you're better than most NBA teams. You are better than most NBA teams. And so what do you do with that? 445-0929. Who's next?
Jeff, we got a Richie. He's on the Highland Strip.
Hey, Richie.
Hey, Jeff. How are you?
Good.
My two cents.
Yeah.
This is all a Zach Edey problem.
Zach Edey problem.
Zach Kleiman.
You're putting it all on the feet of the rookie.
Yeah, I ain't putting it on the rookie. I'm not putting it on the rookie.
It seemed harsh.
All the front office. It's all the front office.
Okay. What do you blame him for?
So, in my opinion, Zach Kleiman is a draft expert, and he's just average at everything else. So either take away the options as far as trades and stuff away from him and just let him draft, or get another front office.
All right. I appreciate it. Thanks very much. I do think it's pretty clear, like, Jeffrey, don't you? The spotlight's on Zach Kleiman now.
Oh, absolutely.
100%.
Because now it's just the roster.
And it couldn't be more clear. Look at these two rosters. And as we've said a million times, 3 years ago, they had Steven Adams, Dylan Brooks, Tyus Jones, Kyle Anderson, DeAnthony Melton. Couldn't have kept them all. I'm not saying that. But have you replaced them with a cast that is as effective as that cast around the big three? And the answer is unequivocally, indisputably, no. Who's next?
Jeff, we got a Quinn in the South City. Quinn, you're on.
Hey, Quinn.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it, Jeffrey and Jeff. This all starts with Zach Kleiman. He built up a great team playing 2KGM about 4 years ago, getting Melton. We already had Kyle making the Steven Adams deal. Now he's tripled down over 3 years now, getting youthful players who are unproven. I actually think he's done a terrible job as a GM. His best move was Desmond Bane, and he ultimately ended up overpaying a role player in Desmond Bane because he's not a top three player. He can't get separation on good defenders. We should have lost Friday. We should have tanked that game because we needed that pick. That's far more valuable than seeing OKC embarrass us, because I know you guys want to talk about this. I'm not sure what the FedEx Forum is going to look like for game 3 and 4.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
If they've ever needed a competitive game tomorrow.
You would think they need a competitive game tomorrow. You would think they need a competitive game tomorrow, because it's hard to – yeah. I agree with that. Listen, the indictment of Zach Kleiman is that they didn't pick Jaren, right?
Nope.
He inherited Jaren. Anyone would have picked Ja.
Yep.
Right? Anyone would have picked Ja. So of the big three, you give him credit for Dez, right? And Brandon Clark.
Yep.
Give him credit for Brandon Clark, right? He was one of theirs.
Absolutely.
Give him credit for Dez. You give him credit for Brandon Clark. And then there's been a lot of recent whiffs. It's just true. Now, there's also been hits. There's Jalen Wells was a hit for where he was picked. He was a hit. Zach Edey may turn out to be a hit. I think looking positive. For the ninth pick in a mediocre draft. He's looking like a positive pick there. But
Times Vince Williams has looked like a hit. I mean, obviously he doesn't right now. But
Gigi, who knows, for the second, whatever, doesn't look like a hit right now. But then, yeah, the swings, whether it was Once Upon a Time Justice Winslow or whether it was Marcus Smart or the efforts to add players, credible players through either free agency or trade has largely been whiff, right? You pick two ways they've gotten Scottie Pippen and Jay Huff and whatever, but in terms of adding a middle class of player, it's been a lot of whiffs. 445-0929, who's next?
Jeff, we got to do Cameron Whalen in Memphis, Tennessee. He's on the program.
Hey, tremendous. That was tremendous trombone Friday. That was magnificent. Thank you for that.
God bless you, man. I appreciate that.
Really great. You set the tone for the whole evening. So wonderful to hear from you.
We're going to need you on Thursday.
We're going to need you on Thursday. Yeah.
Listen, man.
Yeah.
I felt good about it. I felt great about it. I wish I was out there in OKC yesterday, but, you know. We can blame Zach and all of that, but man, Jaren has been here long enough to have more than 4 points in game one of a playoff game versus the number one seed. I mean, there's certain stuff that when they get on that court, it's on them. We can only blame Zach and whoever for so long. I mean, injuries happen, things happen, but I mean, that's our all-star. You got to do something. More 4 points ain't going to cut it. We lose by 50.
2 of 13, 4 points. Drew Hill had this, and in 24 playoff starts, he has had fewer than 15 points in 11 of them.
That's just crazy.
Yeah. So, by the way, let me ask you, Cameron, when you go up there to play the national anthem, for those who don't know, he did a magnificent national anthem on the trombone Friday. Do you know exactly where every note is going to fall, or are you improvising as you go along?
Well, I know the song, but
of course.
I just try to keep it, you know, me. I got to keep it live in the moment, and whatever the spirit and the energy of the moment comes out. I try to let that be as raw and, you know, real as possible.
Well, that was great. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Thank
you. Yes, sure thing. 445-0929 points a little bit of the finger at Jaren. Listen, the guy's going to be getting a Supermax. Right?
Maybe
getting a Supermax and 4 points in game one against OKC. Who's next?
Jeff, let's go to Clyde in East Memphis. Clyde, you're on.
Hey, Clyde.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Good.
All right. First of all, I want to say this. Jaren Jackson is a fraud. If we pay that guy is not a Supermax player. He absolutely isn't. He's 7 feet tall. He can't rebound. He plays lazy. He's not physical. If we pay that guy $300 million or whatever it is, we won't be able to get anybody else. We need to put him on. We need to trade him for two good veterans or something like that. And that's going to be our only hope. We got to get rid of him. If we pay that guy, we're done. We are done.
All right.
That's all I got to say.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it. Here's the problem, Jeffrey. When you're Memphis, you can either pay him or not. And if you don't, and you're not going to get a player as good as he is, right? And so it's the dilemma that you have. And you know what? It's interesting. Like, Jaylen Brown was sort of in the same category. Is he good enough to get a Supermax,
sure,
right? And then what happened? He becomes MVP, like he becomes the best team on a champ, best player on a, during that run, best player on a championship team at the time that they decided, like it feels like the Supermax is supposed to be for Doncic and for LeBron and for Steph and for not the Jaren level player. That's overpaying a Jaren level player.
That's a very good example because Jaylen Brown going into the, everyone's like, oh, that's going to kill
them.
But
if you don't pay them, you are not getting a player as nearly as good to replace them. 445-0929, who's next?
Jeff, we go to Ian in Arlington. Ian, you're on.
Hey guys, what's up? Hey, as you guys know, like I'm the resident caller, like Thunder fan.
Yeah, but I know. I was kind of hoping I wouldn't hear from you today.
I'm not here to gloat. I'm not here to gloat. The Grizzlies need to hit a coaching home run in the offseason. They have to. Because specifically, I think they need to go for Mike Malone. But
I think if you guys don't hit a home run on that front, then you might see some trade requests. And that's just going to throw the team into complete disarray.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Well, I think those things are related, by the way, because as we've said before, is will you see the trade request if you do hire a Michael Malone, or if you do? You know what I mean? Like,
oh, there's definitely some reading of the room.
Yeah. What kind of there? In the end, I've said this all along, I think the most important thing in determining whether Isola will be the coach or someone else will be the coach will be the feeling of the three players who were despite yesterday, still calling the big three. Who's next?
Jeff, we got a Constance in Cordova. Constance, you're on.
Hey, Constance.
Hello. Thank you guys for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
This is my first time calling, by the way. I listen to the show daily.
So oh, we're nice to have you.
Thank you guys. You do a great job.
Thanks for calling in.
So I just want to say that I agree with the caller about Jaren Jackson. I just feel like he's too tall to stand on the three-point line. We need some toughness. We need rebounds from him. And we have to find a hammer-the-nail type coach. Make these guys do what they need to do. Our defense is not where it needs to be. And I just feel like we need to start from the top all the way to the bottom. But we cannot have a seven-footer who's not making shots near the rim and getting rebounds. We just can't have that.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. I mean, the rebounding thing has been persistent. What's interesting, of course, is that the new Isola offense seems to have him
more on an island.
standing out there jacking up threes, where he was doing much less of that, under the Taylor Jenkins offense this year. That's just, you know, and that's been an unfortunate, as you have re-elevated Ja and his role on this team, it feels like, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, it feels like you've reduced Jaren to us being a spot up 3-point shooter.
Yep.
And is that Jaren or is that the scheme? Last call that we will take on this. Then we got Chris Harrington coming up next. Who we got?
Jeff, let's go to Gary in Memphis. Gary, you're on.
Hey, Gary.
Hey, guys. I'm a big fan of the show. I just want to just chime in. You know, again, Jaren, I think he's a decent player, but when I was watching the game yesterday and Caruso was guarding him, he was standing on the three-point line, I said, you got to be kidding me. And the coach should have said, you know what? You got to catch that. Go on the block. Post him up. But when he was standing on the three-point line with Caruso, I was just really disappointed. But we got to get a coach in here also that demands authority because, again, this is a young team that needs a little guidance. We have to get somebody with some authority. I do agree with the last caller with Mike Malone. You guys
thanks very much. Appreciate it. All right, so there you go. I do think we agree, Jeffrey, that it feels like most people who weighed on this topic are glad you're having this series, if only to get a measure of this team. And if that requires humiliation, it's humiliation, but to get a measure of this team.
It to me rhymes with, we talked about these situations that you root for your team to lose. It rhymes with the college, when you want the coach fired. It rhymes with that because really what you're just saying is you want change. And in college,
you're saying you want it exposed. Or listen, I think you're open to, if they prove to be incredibly competitive, you're willing to see that. But that either thing you see, whether it is useful, right? Either thing you see is useful. The only question is what happens if it does what I said, what Chris feared the loss Friday would do? What happens if it demoralizes the core so much that they start wanting out? Because you and I have said it's hard to replace them.
100%. I mean, this is the other thing about, like, I understand Jaren's going to always go through the, because everyone's going to look at him, he's tall and he doesn't rebound. So he's going to, and now, especially when you see him on offense and it's largely him standing around, he's going to take the brunt of the frustration. I would point out, one thing we cannot forget about Jaren is, guy's playing.
Every game. Every damn game.
He missed the first.
He held this team up for most of the season.
Missed the first two games
of
the year.
He held this team up for most of the season. He's the only guy on this team who's a plus defense. Like,
correct.
I mean, they're bad defensively. Without Jaren,
they're god-awful.
They're god-awful defensively. So, it's never as bad. Never as bad as it looks after a 54.1 loss. That's one of my sayings, Jeffrey.
You hope so.
It's never quite as bad as it looks after a 51 point loss. So there you go. Did you watch much of the other games? And were you where are you on the? Are you happy to see the Warriors winning, or are you your Team Rockets there?
No, I think I'm begrudgingly Team Rockets. But you just see the thing that struck me about the Rockets the last month is just how offensively challenged
they're offensively challenged.
They've been. I think the most surprising result to me this weekend was I really thought the Clippers were going to show that's probably the biggest threat in the West other than Oklahoma City. And for
the
about
Timberwolves laying it to the Lakers was sort of fun.
Yeah, I don't have as high – I don't think very highly of the
And then I felt Lakers. Bad about the Pistons collapse.
Yeah. 21 – a 21 nothing run. That hurts.
So, all right, we got Chris Harrington from Oklahoma City. We will talk to him – next about all this. Before then, I will tell you, if you're selling your house, Josh Issa would be the person to call. 901-461-8147. 901-461-8147. More than 300 five-star Google reviews. Among the reasons for that is he will give you a instant cash offer at full market value for your home. So you get the same convenience as other cash offers, but you walk away with more money in your pocket. None of these, you know, out of town, unsolicited cash offers. Set up an appointment with Josh. He'll come out, he'll look at your home, he'll give you an offer for the full cash value, and you have more than 4 months to move before you have to hand over the keys. Makes it incredibly simple for you. We'll also sell your house the conventional way if that's what you prefer. Flexible fees, no upfront costs. He'll let you out of your contract at any time. It's Josh Issa and the team at Keller Williams Realty. That's 901-461-8147, 901-461-8147. We'll talk to Chris next. Jeff Calkins, 92.9 FM ESPN.